You know from reading the Gospels that Jesus made plans, preparations for that meal in the upper room on that fateful evening. And obviously he made plans to have a meal in Martha's home. The arrangements had been made. And Martha knew that there was quite a crowd coming along with Jesus, all of his disciples. So she may have had to borrow a few sweet potatoes from some of her neighbors and to cook a little bit more than she normally did cook in order to get that meal ready. And she was nervous because it was, after all, the Lord Jesus who was coming. And she wanted to put her best foot forward. She wanted to have it really good. And along the way, while she was fixing the cornbread, she got busy with the potato salad, and the cornbread burned. And that's when she got a little upset. And she began to figure, well, Mary is sitting out there listening to Jesus when she ought to have been in here making sure the cornbread didn't get burned. And so she just lost it. And Jesus said, Martha, you're bothered with a lot of things, but Mary has made a wise decision, and we're not going to take that away from her. Martha's very common problem is my problem and your problem. We are easily distracted by many things. We are tempted to get too much on our plate. And sometimes we have more than we can handle. And we find that we get exhausted trying to work and serve and do so many things. It is a common problem. Martha is not alone in that. You all know what Martha went through that day because you have all been there, men and women, mothers and fathers, and young people alike. But Mary made a very wise decision. Her decision was to skip being involved in the preparation. After all, it was Martha's home. Martha had decided the menu, I imagine, and Mary said, okay, honey, you can have it. I'm going to pay attention to the Lord and listen to him. It was a very wise decision on Mary's part, because when you take the time to listen to Jesus, you find out what you need to know to survive in the world. And that's what she did. It's a very wonderful decision, and there are gracious benefits of listening to Jesus. I want to mention a few of them this morning. One of the benefits is that Jesus, when you start listening to him, he tells you how much he loves you. And every mother needs to hear that because of the demands upon her as a mother. And Jesus tries to help you when you start listening to him to understand how much he loves you, how much God loves you. And to try to help you understand that you have been created because God wanted you in the world. And John said it as well as anybody's ever said it. See what wonderful love the Father has bestowed upon us, lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Jesus wants every mother to understand you are a child of God. And that's a wonderful thing, that I'm a child of God, every one of us. You need to first embrace the idea for yourself and rejoice in it, and then help your children and your family members to realize that every one of them is created to be a child of God. One of the things that you can do as a mother and listening to Jesus is to let him tell you that you ought not to cave into the culture, but climb into the kingdom. So easy to cave into the culture, because the culture is constantly telling you what you need to do and what you need to be and how you need to live. But we need to get our marching orders, mothers, from Jesus. And he'll give you the right marching orders. And he'll help you to understand that you're not only a child of God, you're a child of the King. And it's a wonderful thing for a mother to sing to the children. I know some mothers think they can't sing, but you can sing to the kids. especially when they don't know a soprano from an alto. And when they're young and impressionable is the best time to sing anyway. And it's a wonderful thing to have mother singing songs about Jesus. It's a great thing to do. Your children, when they're young, need to hear you singing, "Soon and very soon, I'm going to see the King." Now, they'll think you're talking about going to Burger King. The little ones, you know. But you can help them to understand that you're talking about King Jesus, because you're a child of the King, and Jesus is the King. And every morning, Jesus wants you to wake up and realize that you are a child of the King, and begin your day obeying Him and trying to do what He wants you to do. Now, when mothers listen to Jesus, I think He says to them, "I know that when you hurt, it's hard. You want me to make everything easy for you, but I teach you a lot of things through the pain that my Father and I allow you to have." And Jesus, when you're hurting, He will say to you, "I hurt too. I hurt like you hurt. And I just want you to know that when you are willing to bring your heartache and your pain and your hurt to me, I will exchange them for comfort and joy." Because you see, you remember how Handel emphasized those words, comfort and joy, in the Messiah? I think Jesus would tell mothers, if they'd take time to listen, that He helped Handel to arrange that. He gave him the idea of putting comfort and joy into that, taking a phrase out of Jeremiah, because it is the Father's desire to take the pain and the heartache that we bring to Him and exchange it for joy and comfort and the healing that He can give to our lives. So, mothers, when you listen to Jesus, you get some wonderful benefits. And Jesus will tell you, "I want you to forgive all the people that hurt you." And if you're like some mothers, you may stomp your feet and say, "I can't do it." But you can with His help. You see, sometimes we think God wants me to love people and I don't have any love for them, and you don't have any love. You don't have the love of God in you until you let the Holy Spirit pour it into you. The Scripture says the Holy Spirit pours His love into believers. So when you find that you're exhausted and don't have the love you need to love somebody who's honoring and peculiar, like you usually are too, but you just don't want to admit it, then you ask the Father to pour enough love into you so that you can have the love to love them. And Jesus keeps saying, I believe, to mothers who listen to Him, "I want you to forgive those who hurt you so that you'll have the joy of your Heavenly Father's forgiveness. And I want you to do that because it'll be a wonderful example to your children." You know, when a mother forgives the people that hurt her, the people in the family understand that. The people in the family see it. The people in the family can feel it, and they begin proud of that. And children who see their mother hold grudges and keep hatred and ill will for years and years and years are influenced by that poor example, when they could be influenced by the example of a forgiving mother. When you listen to Jesus, I think He says to you, "I want you to understand that I am with you in whatever you're facing. I've promised to be with you, and I'll keep my promise. And you can rely on me to be there when you need me if you'll keep loving me." Mothers, I believe Jesus is saying, "I want you to love your Heavenly Father and love me with unconditional love. Just love us like we love you." And I think Jesus is saying, "Mothers, I want you to love people like I have loved you." And how did He love you? He loved you when you were stubborn and selfish. And He wants you to love the people around you when they're stubborn and selfish. He wants you to love people like He's loved you. And when you begin to realize that you are loved in spite of your imperfections, He gives you the grace to handle the imperfections of other people around you. And sometimes, you know, we think, boy, the Lord has really given me a terrible person in my life to love, but maybe the Lord is putting some of these peculiar, difficult people in your life and in mine so that we will learn to rely on Him to give us the love and the forgiveness that we need in order to love people like He loves them. When you listen to Jesus, He'll give you marching orders. He'll tell you what you need today and what you should be doing today. He'll give you guidance about how to treat people. He'll give you guidance about how to make sacrifices for them. I think about the sacrifices of my mother and of my wife. I can remember so many times when the kids were small, sometimes with a fever, sometimes sick all night, that I'd crash and burn at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd give up and go to sleep and wake up 7 o'clock, and Dean would be still sitting in the rocking chair nursing that sick child. And I'd feel humiliated, but I'd know I'd been in the presence of someone who was calling upon the Lord for the help that she needed to do what a mother alone can do. I think about my own mother's sacrifices. My mother found a book called Guidepost Daily Devotions. Have y'all ever read any of that? Well, until my mother died at age 95, every Christmas I got one. I think I got it for 40 years. I think she gave me that daily devotional guidepost book because she wanted to say, son, I'm proud of you. I love you. I want you to be a man of God that can make a difference in this world. I always felt that kind of support from her. My daddy had a problem getting over my decision to go into ministry. He wanted me to go to Auburn and study agriculture and come back and help him with the farm. And when I told him I was going to study speech and journalism, he said, nothing. Sometimes nothing can upset you, you know. He said nothing. It took him a while to get over it. But there came a day when I had his support, too, as well as that of my mother. And I think about how my mother may have influenced him, because he probably talked to her. He never did talk to me about his disappointment. But I could tell it was there. I knew it was there. But I think my mother must have said, now, Walter, you know, you need to be proud of this boy. And even though he's not going to study agriculture and come back and help you with this blankety-blank farm, you need to be proud of him. And I think he finally got proud of him. And I'm so thankful for her influence in so many different ways. When you listen to Jesus, He helps you to understand who you are and who your children are. He will say to you, I think, I want you to pray every member of your family into the kingdom of God. You know, this past year we had a 32-year-old grandson to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for that. And a lot of prayers went up praying for that. And I think sometimes we need to look at our own children, family members who are in the far country running from the Lord, and see them praising the Lord. See them coming home to Jesus. See them coming back and surrendering to Him even before the thought even enters their mind. And when we pray, believe that that's going to happen. Because as the choir began this service saying it, nothing is impossible with God. A woman called me this week, and I was astounded by what she said. She said, my daughter is 11 years old, and she's been autistic. And it's been a great burden to our family. But she said a few months ago, she came in one morning after a night's sleep, and she said, Mama, God and Jesus came to me in a dream last night, and Jesus told me I'd been healed, that I no longer have this problem. I never heard of that before. But the choir, and when she was speaking to me, all I could think of was the choir singing, nothing is impossible with God. And I just affirmed her in her faith to believe that this has happened for her. Why didn't it happen with everybody? I don't know, but I believe great things happen in answer to the prayers, and especially the prayers of mothers. So Jesus will say to mothers, I want you to join with me and partner with me in praying every member of your family into the kingdom of God. And see them smiling and see them rejoicing and see them worshiping the Lord Jesus and see them practicing the faith alongside of you. There are still others in our family that we're praying for. But we're trying to ask God to give us the grace and the strength to see them serving the Lord and coming home to faith in Him. Mothers, the wisest thing you can ever do is to listen to Jesus and let Him be your guide. Let Him be the Lord of your life. And let your family know that. You know, I mentioned singing earlier. When a mother sings about Jesus, it makes an impression on the family members. You know, Dean likes to play the piano. And I love to hear her play. Sometimes she plays Laura's theme, you know, Somewhere, My Love. You know, and I just sit there and think, that's good, that's good. Sometimes she'll play Clair de Lune. And then sometimes she'll play the Missouri Waltz and things like that. And then sometimes she'll play You Are My Sunshine. And I remember how much her daddy meant to her when he'd sing that to her when she was a little girl before he died. And then she'll start playing hymns about Jesus. And when she starts in playing Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, when she starts playing the hymns of the faith about Jesus, I'm so thankful that I married a woman who loves to play songs about Jesus Christ. I met with the confirmands, the 12 and 13-year-olds who joined the church recently, and I said to all the boys in the group, when you decide to get married, try to find a girl who can play the piano. I told them all that. So girls, if you're looking for somebody, learn how to play the piano. God might send somebody to you that wants to be married. Because I'm just delighted to be married to a mother who loves Jesus enough to play songs about Him that just fill the house with the joy of the Lord. So mothers, the wisest thing you can ever do is sit and listen to Jesus. But now, let me mention this. When you listen to Jesus, He doesn't tell you, I just want you to sit here forever and just enjoy being at My feet. No, He doesn't do that. Because He wants you to get a holy rhythm for life. He wants you to have play and prayer and work and worship and service of others in your life. A holy rhythm. And when you listen to Jesus, you can sort this out, and He begins to help you to get that rhythm in place in your life so that you're not constantly exhausted trying to serve other people. But He'll give you that holy rhythm so that you can have some time for prayer, have some time for worship, have some time for fun, have some time for serving other people. Jesus is not going to let us off the hook about service because He Himself said, the Son of Man has come not into the world to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And He wants us to learn how to do that. And mothers, don't feel sorry for yourself when you have the opportunity and the necessity of making sacrifices for your family. Because it's through making sacrifices with a loving spirit in the name of Jesus that your character is perfected by Almighty God. And He makes you into a person that others admire and want to be like. Well, I remember very well the first time Dean ever told me that I was the second great love of her life. I had to stand back a minute and listen to that again. Second great love. She said to me, I love Jesus more than I love you. And I stood there and thought about it, and I thought to myself, I love being married to a woman who loves Jesus more than she loves me. And I want to suggest to you mothers, you love Jesus first. Put Him first in your life. And let your children, if you've got small ones or even big ones, hear you singing, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy. He's everything to me. And, you know, you can sing a song like, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign." You can sing that until it's true. Sing that until you don't love anybody more than you love Jesus Christ. And mothers, if you listen to Jesus, he'll tell you that he loves you. And he wants you to be his person. He wants you to be his servant. He wants you to know the joy of being a child of the King, who will lead you through all the pain and hurt and misfortune that this world has for us. And he'll bring you out on the other side, a person who has known the comfort and joy that God alone brings to those who trust him. Listening to Jesus, would you, mothers, ask right now for Jesus to give you the courage to follow Mary's example? Would you do that just right where you are? Just say, "Jesus, give me the courage to do that, to listen to Jesus, to go aside in prayer and humble submission and surrender and say, 'Jesus, be the Lord of my life, my family, my children, and guide me in all things to know and to do your will.'" If you'll do that, I believe it'll be better than strawberry shortcake on Mother's Day. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for the way you have arranged the world, arranged life. While there's so many things about our world that are discouraging to us, while there's so many who are trying to substitute the culture's plan for your plan, we acknowledge this morning that you gave the world the idea of the family. You gave the world the idea of a man marrying a woman, and that a woman should enjoy the privilege of bringing children into the world and helping them to discover, as she has discovered, that Jesus loves them and died for them. Lord, bless every mother here today. We know that for many, these are hours of pain and sometimes discouragement and sadness that's overwhelming. But you promised when we bring our ashes to you, when we bring our sorrows to you, when we bring our griefs and heartaches to you, you will exchange them for your comfort and joy and bring joy to our mourning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.